Neil climbed into his car, and suddenly June came running with tomatoes in her hands. She reared back and threw one, smack, right into the windshield. The second one landed on the door handle. "Don't you come back," she yelled as Neil drove off, trailing tomato juice. May sank down onto the floor, crying and looking so hurt inside I could almost see soft red places up under her rib bones. August and I walked her out to a wall, and for the umpteenth time she wrote June and Neil on a scrap of paper and wedged it between the rocks. We spent the rest of the day working on the supers that Zach and I had hauled in. Stacked six high, they made a miniature skyline all through the honey house. August said it looked like Bee City in there. We ran 12 extractor loads through the whole system, all the way from the uncapping knife to the bottling tank. August didn't like her honey to sit around waiting too long, because the flavor got lost. We had 2 days to finish it up, she said. Period. At least we didn't have to store the honey in a special hot room to keep it from crystallizing, because every room we had was a hot room. Sometimes Carolina heat turned out to be good for something. Just when I thought we were done for the day and could go eat dinner and say our evening prayers with the beads, no, we were just beginning. August had us load up the empty supers and haul them out to the woods so the bees could come and do the big cleanup. She would not store her supers for the winter until the bees had sucked out the last remaining bits of honey from the combs. She said that was because honey remnants attracted roaches, but really I'm sure it was because she loved throwing a little end-of-the-year party for her bees, seeing them descend on the supers like they'd discovered honey heaven. The whole time we worked, I marveled at how mixed up people got when it came to love. I myself, for instance, it seemed like I was now thinking of Zach 40 minutes out of every hour. Zach, who was an impossibility. That's what I told myself 500 times, impossibility. I can tell you this much, the word is a great big log thrown on the fires of love. That night, it felt strange to be in the honey house by myself. I missed Rosaline snoring the way you'd miss the sound of ocean waves after you've gotten used to sleeping with them. I didn't realize how it had comforted me. Quietness has a strange, spongy hum that can nearly break your eardrums. I didn't know if it was the emptiness, the stifling heat, or the fact it was only 9 o'clock. But I couldn't settle into sleep despite how tired I was. I peeled off my top and my underwear and lay on the damp sheets. I liked the feel of nudeness. It was a smooth, oiled feeling on the sheets, a set-free feeling. I imagined then that I heard a car pull into the driveway. I imagined it was Zach, and the thought of him moving in the night just outside the honey house caused my breath to speed up. I rose and slipped across the dark space to the wall mirror. Pearled light poured through the open window behind me, molding to my skin, giving me a true halo, not just around my head but across my shoulders, along my ribs and thighs. I was the last person to deserve a halo, but I studied the effect, cupping my hands under my breasts, studying my pinky brown nipples, the thin curves of my waist, every soft and glowing turn. It was the first time I'd felt like more than a scraggly girl. I closed my eyes, and the balloon full of craving finally burst open in my chest. And when it did, wouldn't you know? 1 minute I was dreaming of Zach, and the next I was hungering for my mother, imagining her calling my name, saying, "Lily girl, you are my flower." When I turned to the window, there was no one there. Not that I had expected there would be. 2 days later, after we had run ourselves into the ground harvesting the rest of the honey, Zach showed up with the prettiest notebook, green with rosebuds on the cover. He met me coming out of the pink house. "This is for you," he said, "so you can get a head start on your writing." That's when I knew I would never find a better friend than Zachary Taylor. I threw my arms around him and leaned into his chest. He made a sound like, "Whoa!" But after a second, his arms folded around me, and we stayed like that, in a true embrace, He moved his hands up and down my back till I was almost dizzy. Finally, he unwound my arms and said, "Lily, I like you better than any girl I've ever known. But you have to understand, there are people who would kill boys like me for even looking at girls like you." I couldn't restrain myself from touching his face, the place where his dimple caved into his skin. "I'm sorry," I said. "Yeah, me too," he said. For days I carried the notebook everywhere. I wrote constantly. A made-up story about Rosaline losing 85 pounds, looking so sleek nobody could pick her out of a police lineup. One about August driving a honeymobile around, similar to the bookmobile, only she had jars of honey to dispense instead of books. My favorite, though, was one about Zach becoming the ass-busting lawyer and getting his own television show like Perry Mason. I read it to him during lunch one day, and he listened better than a child at story hour.
"Move over, Wilfred Marchant," was all he said.
Honeybees depend not only on physical contact with the colony, but also require its social companionship and support. Isolate a honeybee from her sisters, and she will soon die. The queen must die, and other affairs of bees and men.